invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look this morning at contrasts. Contrasts. How two things are different. Our text for the morning is verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11. For by it the elders obtained a good report. We really don't see much contrast there in that verse, but I believe as we look at the context of the passage and the context of the letter, we will find the contrast and we will see the difference. And I want us to focus today on those two differences so that we may know what we have. We sang that song just a moment ago, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That speaks about hope. The child of God trusting in Jesus Christ, and that foretaste, that taste now by faith and by hope of what we will have in Jesus Christ. But there's a grave concern. There's a stark warning through Scripture that we need to make note of today and we need to pay attention to today, because there are very many who would have sang very robustly that song with us, but they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't have true salvation. They have not had a new birth, and they are not promised heaven. They don't have a joy coming for them. What they have coming for them, unless by grace God saves them between now and then, are the words of Jesus Christ when He says, Depart from me, I never knew you. Do you know the difference? There is a difference between a true child of God and someone who simply professes to be a child of God. Let's begin reading together this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. To begin, beginning with verse 35. Will you stand in reverence of God's Word and let us read together? Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. May the Lord add His blessing to His Word as we study and meditate upon it this morning. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear God and Father, we are gathered for the purpose of hearing Your Word. And contrary to modern belief in so many so-called churches today, this is worship. Worship's not just about music and dancing, but we worship, O God, as You have prescribed in the hearing of the Word. As Your Word is declared to us, as it comes forth, O God, with Your power. As You apply it to hearts, having given ears to heard. That's our prayer this day. O God, speak to us as we're gathered. Speak through Your servant, Your message. May they not be man's words. May they not be spoken to please human ears. But, oh God, may You speak them sharper than any two-edged sword. May You pierce asunder and divide. May You cut away anything that is believed, that is not truth, that is not Your Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh God, bring salvation this day to lost souls by Your Word. And oh God, for those that are gathered here that are your children, oh God, increase their knowledge of your word, increase their faith in you, increase their hope in your promises and the joy. Oh God, increase our obedience, all for your glory. And all through the name of Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. Please be seated. We're talking about faith. As you know, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is the heroes of faith. He breaks out in verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A simple and applicable definition of faith. We've talked about faith for some weeks now in light of this passage and other passages here in Hebrews. We've talked about the fact that saving faith is not a moral virtue that we can produce. Many people are confused by that. We all have faith in things in this life, faith that we can see and faith that we can understand, but those things are not saving faith. Saving faith is a gift of God. We saw that from Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you have saving faith, it is because God gave you that faith. Because you see, as we are in our natural state, because of our father Adam, when Adam sinned, when Adam ate of the fruit, when Adam sinned against God's command, we all died. Because we were the descendants of Adam, and none of us had been born yet, and no ancestors had been born yet. When Adam died, all who were in Adam's loins, as we saw back in earlier in this letter, as he referenced the priests, all paying tithes through Abraham, as Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. He said all the priests paid tithes to Melchizedek, because they were all in the loins of Abraham. And so were we in the loins of Adam. And so we all died when Adam died. And the scriptures tell us that the natural man, just the way we're born, cannot receive the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. We're born spiritually dead. We have physical faith. We have faith in things of this life. But as he tells us here in verse 1, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he goes into an example in verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How many of you are here? How many of you saw that? How many of you have seen a video of it? How many saw pictures of how it worked and what took place? None of us. But we believe those things by faith. Because we understand, we believe what God has said, and so we believe those and we accept those by faith. We have faith, but the faith that we have naturally is not saving faith. Scripture says we don't know God. There's none that seeks after God. Scripture tells us we can't understand the things of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. And until God, in His grace, gives the natural man the Holy Spirit, quickening him, making him alive, the natural man cannot receive the things of God and cannot have saving faith. Saving faith. It is not a moral virtue that can be produced in us. It is a gift of God. This saving faith, this faith that God gives, produces hope. Verse 1 says, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the foundation. It's the underlayment of hope. Hope produces joy. Hope produces enthusiasm. And hope produces works done with joy. Because we see and because we know what is going to take place, because God has promised it, and because we believe God and we believe His promises, and just as we saw in the verse, He is faithful that promised, back in Hebrews chapter 10. Because we have faith in Him and we believe those promises, we have hope now. Because we know what is coming. We know what God is going to do. Verse 37 of chapter 10 says, For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. As we see the things going on around the world, in the United States, and all across Europe, and all across the world, the Middle East, and the Far East, and in Africa, and everywhere else we look, it would be very easy to be disillusioned and discontented, to be very despondent. But the child of God, by faith, knowing the promise of God, looks beyond all of that. You'll remember in the book of Revelation, Jesus reveals to John all of the tribulation that is to come, all of the woe and the doom that is to come. And as John writes, he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come." We know of the tribulation. The world is going to get worse. But we know that we have more. We know that we have the promise of God. And no matter how bad this gets, the joys of heaven will outweigh all the tribulation and all the trials of the world. And so a child of God, by faith, looks beyond the tribulations and the trials here and now and dwells upon the hope that is brought to the heart of a child of God because of faith and the promises of God. Faith produces hope. Hope produces joy, enthusiasm, and works done with joy. Fruits of the Spirit. This is part of what we see as evidence of a child of God. And Jesus says, "A good tree bringeth forth not forth corrupt fruit, and a corrupt tree does not bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his fruit." Every child of God is known by the fruit that is born out in their life. And the hope that a child of God has makes a difference in that fruit and makes a difference in what we see from that child of God. Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, and he's talking about godly women. And he says in verse 10, "Well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." Not good works to save her, but because she is a child of God, because of faith and because of the hope that that faith produces, she has done these things. She has done these good works. And these good works shine in the life of a child of God. We see them. He's going to give us biblical examples throughout chapter 11. As we come to the heroes of faith. Faith produces hope. You know from the book of James, the epistle that James has written, that faith alone cannot save. He says in chapter 2 and verse 14, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" What he is saying there is there are many who say they have faith. There are many who say they have salvation. There are many who say they are children of God. But the faith that they have doesn't produce hope. There are no works produced. James goes on to say, "I will show you my faith by my good works." Every true child of God has saving faith. That saving faith produces hope, and that hope will be evident in the works that they do. What James is saying there in the epistle is, you can say all day long you have faith. You may say it more than I do. You may say it louder than I do. You may say it more convincingly than I do. But if you don't have any works, your faith is dead. It's not saving faith. Because saving faith will produce works. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone, he says in verse 17 of chapter 2. The writer has pointed out the evidence of faith by the actions of hope already in this letter. Turn with me. I'm going to go back to a couple passages in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, first of all. We looked at these briefly before. I want to point to them again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ is Son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Actions of hope are seen. They are evidence of faith. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. The hope causes confidence. The hope causes rejoicing. And the child of God will hold it firm to the end. He said, we are the house of Christ if we persevere to the end. With these fruits produced by the hope that comes from saving faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The full assurance of hope unto the end. Perseverance again. And then a little further down in verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The child of God, when given saving faith, is given the ability to see and understand and believe and have hope in the promises of God. And that hope causes the child of God to flee for refuge, to lay hold on the things of heaven, to let go of the things of this world and to cling on to the things of heaven. There are people today in this world, everywhere, who believe themselves the children of God, who count themselves to be saved, who think they're going to heaven, but they would forego anything to do with the house of God for money. There are even people, so-called preachers, who have perverted whole churches and whole flocks and followers for money. They have forsaken the things of God and the promises of God for the things of this world. The writer says the child of God forsakes the things of this world and flees to the things of heaven because of hope. Because of hope. And it allows the child to have joy and peace even when they have nothing of this world's treasures. Because it's not the treasures of this world that bring happiness. It's not the treasures of this world that mean something to the child of God. Scripture says that He is our all in all. If we had nothing, but I have Christ, that is my hope, that is my joy, that is my peace. That must be our contentment. And no true child of God can throw away those things of heaven to cling on to the things of the world. We read in the first epistle of John, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't do both. If it's the things of the world that excite you, and the things of the world that please you, and the things of the world you're chasing, if love of the things of the world is what motivates you and drives you, you don't have faith. You don't have hope. You don't have Jesus Christ. The love of the Father is not in you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He has already, as we're looking, shown the actions of hope in this letter. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast. And continually and over, He's talking about perseverance. Our holding on till the end. As He said, we are the household of Christ if we hold fast till the end. All the way to the end. There is no going back. There is no going away. I hope that you remember from chapter 10 and verse 23 that the Greek actually reads, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." You see, I was talking about the actions of hope, and the verse doesn't show hope unless you go back to the Greek. Your passage probably reads, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith," when it really means, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope." That's what salvation is. You see, in too many realms today, too many people have been told and too many people believe that salvation is walking down the aisle and saying, "I love Jesus, I want to be a Christian." But you see, what it truly is a confession of hope. A confession of hope. I throw away the things of this world. I'm leaving behind the things of this world. We fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope of heaven. The promises of God. I have seen the truth. I have seen what God has shown. I have seen the promises. He is faithful. So, oh, by the way, I must have Him. I must have Jesus Christ. People of the world are suffering. You go ask anybody, and they're all suffering about something. Go ask Donald Trump. I don't know who all the rich people are in order anymore. That really doesn't matter. It's not a concern. But Trump, most of you will know the name. And if you go to him and say, "Is your life just carefree and no concerns?" No! He's got concerns. He's got problems. Well, a problem we have in the world today is there's all kinds of churches and all kinds of preachers who are trying to address the problems of people. Well, you have this problem, and you have that problem. You have the problem of money, and you have the problem of health, and you have this need, and you have that need, and you have this concern and that worry, and you're trying to address all of those things. And then, of course, there's the problem of the sexuality in the world and all the corruption and ungodliness in that, and there's the problem with drugs, and there's a problem with alcohol, and they want to address this need or that need or another need. When the problem is, you're clinging to the things of this world, and you don't have the hope of heaven. You're not a child of God. You see, God doesn't sweep in and fix this little problem or that little problem. God sweeps in, and He takes away your eyes from looking at the things of this world and trusting in the things of this world and the concerns of the things of this world, and He turns your eyes to heaven. And you stop dwelling and being concerned about the things here. And you focus there because it doesn't matter what's going on here. If you're a child of God, that's my home. Is it your home? Are you still worried about the single individual problems that you have going on here in your life? The reason that the Christian has joy, it's not because his problems went away. Your problems, physical and earthly problems, probably multiplied as a child of God because you're attacked and abused. But see, they don't matter anymore. They pale in comparison. My wife and I were talking the other day about a dentist. It was a dentist I went to one time, and he was getting ready to stick the needle in my gums. And he said, "You're going to feel a tugging." And I thought, "What?" And about that time, he started tugging on my jaw. And I thought, "What's that about? A needle doesn't cause a tugging." By that time, he took the needle away and said, "I'm done." He took my mind off of, the needle's getting ready to stick here. It's going to be a sharp prick. It's going to be a stick. It's going to be a burn. That's going to bother me. What's this tugging there? What's this going on over here? And I missed altogether the pain of the needle. What's that got to do with salvation and Christianity? God doesn't give us a tugging on the jaw, but He gives us the pleasures of heaven. And we're so focused on the things of heaven and the promises of God that the little pricks and the little burning and the little needles and the gum don't matter. Paul and Silas, laying in prison in chains, beaten and bleeding. And they're singing. They're singing. And then you go to church and there's people sitting on the cushioned pews with air conditioning and all the comforts of this life, and they can't sing. Folks, what's the problem? What's the problem? The problem is there's no hope because there's no faith. He has shown us in this letter, as God speaks through the writer, that faith, hope, and perseverance are contrasted to hopelessness because of no faith. Or as he terms it, unbelief. Do you remember the example that we saw back in chapter 3? Hint, hint, start turning back to chapter 3. Those who said they loved God, but whose disobedience proved their lack of faith and hope. Chapter 3. Just hold your place there, man. Don't start reading yet. I didn't tell you what verse, and there's a reason for that, because I don't want you reading yet. I want you to pay attention here a minute. Did you know that there are many professing Christians? Do y'all know what I mean when I say professing Christians? And I don't say Christians, I say professing. I'm talking about people who claim to be Christians, but are not. If we were just talking about Christians, I'd say Christians or true believers. When I say professing Christians, I'm talking about people who are not Christians, but say they are. Okay. Clarification, thank you. Did you know that there are many professing Christians, and even whole denominations, that believe backsliding is as much a part of the Christian walk as being baptized is? They expect everybody who makes a profession of faith and everybody who claims to be a Christian to backslide. Whole denominations, and that's what they expect, and that's what they believe. This error in their understanding of faith, hope, obedience, and perseverance, all of those included, is caused by their need to make another error of theirs work out right. You see, they've already made one mistake, an error, and now to make that one work out right, they've got to make another error to make sure we can include that one and get it all, try to make it look right anyway. They believe incorrectly that salvation is man's choice. That we're all okay, that we're all out here and we're just kind of going along and if you ask anybody to, would you choose Jesus? Would you accept Jesus? Would you like to be a Christian? Then everybody going to say, hey, yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'm not doing anything this week. I'm on vacation. Let me go ahead and be a Christian. Let me go ahead and start that today. They say that anyone can choose Jesus and make a decision to be saved. But then they have a problem when so many who have made this decision to be saved does not persevere. What do we do now? They said they were saved. They said they believed it. We did all we should do and all we could do. And so I'm sure it was genuine. What do we do now? So then they say, okay, oh, that person is backsliding. Okay, they made a profession. They accepted Jesus. They just backslided and they're going the other way for a little while. They believe that if the person returns, it's all right to make your profession today, backslide tomorrow, and backslide for 40 years, as long as you come back right before you die. Because if you come back right before you die, it'll be okay. Everything will be fine. But if the person dies before they return from backsliding, then their salvation is saved. There is no passage of Scripture for that. There is no verse for that. There's nowhere God has said that in His Word. We also referenced the passage earlier. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he had specific when he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, the just shall live by faith.